Morning, everyone. It's good to be with you again today. I pray that when you have your pastoral vote on a new candidate for the church in this day of inflation, I hope you give them 110% of your vote. Just go over the top and do it right. May I invite you to turn with me this morning into the Gospel of St. John, chapter 4. John's Gospel, chapter 4. On a hot summer day, Jeanette and I were en route to Albuquerque, New Mexico, where we would join her mother that evening for the dinner meal. We were making good time along Interstate 25, about an hour out of Albuquerque. Suddenly, the car lurched, popped, and coughed, and then glided to a smooth, silent stop beside the road. We had run out of gas. I've been watching the gas gauge, but I'd forgotten momentarily that in this particular car, the gas gauge acted up when it got low and indicated it had more gas than what it really did. I thought I had enough to get me on into Albuquerque. When about an hour out of Albuquerque, here we are, on a hot summer day, stranded alongside the road. Of course, I had to call my motor club and then wait an hour for them to send somebody out with gas, enough to get me into the nearest town to buy additional gas. Had to call my mother-in-law and let her know we were running late and we'd be much later than we had anticipated. All of that said and done, we got there finally. But since that time, I have learned a valuable life lesson. Whether you're in a car or in a relationship or just cruising through everyday life, you cannot run on empty. Let me ask you today, are you trying to run on empty? Does the gauge of your life point to E because your heart is full of misery? Are you barely surviving, or you're just sweating life out with no happiness, no fulfillment, no satisfaction, no joy, no meaning, no purpose? Are you someone who just endures life? Are you someone whose greatest goal is just to make it through another day? Are you someone to whom life has been unkind, unjust, for whatever reason? Are you someone who has all the signs of emptiness? In this fourth chapter of John's Gospel, we read a fascinating story about a woman who had all the symptoms of a life that was trying to run on empty. But she had a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ one day as she came to draw water from the well outside the little town of Sychar. We're told that instead of the normal route from Judea to Galilee that circumvented Samaria with his despised outcast half-breeds, Jesus walked directly to Sychar. For we're told in the scriptures, he had to go through Samaria. The only reason I can think as to why Jesus had to go through Samaria is that he had a divine appointment to keep, to visit a woman whose life was running on empty. Jesus knew there was an outcast in Samaria whose life was running on empty. So let's read a portion of the story in John's Gospel, chapter 4, beginning with verse 3 through verse 10. We'll consider the whole of the chapter, but just read a few verses at this point. We read beginning with verse 3 in chapter 4 of John's Gospel. So he, Jesus, left Judea, and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to the town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman, perhaps with surprise, said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For the Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would ask him, and he would give you living water." My friends, even today, Jesus waits beside the wells of water to meet those of you who come to him with your emptiness. Jesus knows the small secrets of your heart. He knows the unspoken dreams of your imagination, the unreserved thoughts of your mind, the emotional shreds of your feelings, the paralyzed fears of your future, the bitter resentments of your past, and he patiently, personally, waits for you to meet your needs, whatever they may be. He knows all about you, inside and out, past, present, and future, and he recognizes the deep emptiness and the deep satisfaction within your heart and life. Now, I notice three things in this fourth chapter of John's Gospel about the dissatisfaction in the life of this woman at the well, which tells me she was running on empty. First of all, the woman at the well was dissatisfied spiritually. We know she was dissatisfied spiritually because she did not know the truth. She had been created in the image of God with a capacity to enjoy a personal, intimate relationship with God. Yet she was separated from God because of her sinfulness. This woman's dissatisfaction is later symbolically revealed when she pleaded with the Lord, according to verse 15, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." That there was a deep yearning in her soul, an emptiness that she tried to fill with a cheap substitute brand of religion. You see, the Samaritans were not only half-breeds by way of race, but also by way of religion. Their religion consisted of a mixture of Syrian superstitions with its idolatry, mixed in with Jewish ceremonies with its traditions. I doubt if she had ever searched the truth for herself. Hers was a traditional, cultural type of religion. She just went to her place of worship and believed what she was told. She did not satisfy in her heart her need. The worship she experienced did not satisfy the deep longing of her heart. And so I ask you today, are you running on empty, dissatisfied spiritually? Do you go to church, but you just settle for a form of religion instead of a personal relationship with God? You've never studied the Bible for yourself. Rather, you let others decide what you should believe. Perhaps yours is a mixture of truths from God's Word, along with denominational traditions and rituals, or even modern-day cultural leanings. My friends, if you do not know God in a real and personal and intimate relationship through faith in Jesus Christ, then I can safely assume that deep within you, you are dissatisfied spiritually. There is no substitute for a real and personal and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. But secondly, I believe this woman at the well was dissatisfied emotionally. The fact that this woman was dissatisfied emotionally is revealed in part by the hour in which she came to draw water. For we were told it was about noon. That in itself speaks volumes about her loneliness. It was customary for the women of the town to come to the well in groups, either early in the morning or in the evening. It was a social event, equivalent to spending a few extra minutes at the water cooler in the office to pass the time of day with a coworker, or equivalent to talking over the backyard fence or sharing a cup of coffee. It simply was a time to satisfy the emotional needs for friendship and companionship. Yet we're told this woman came in the middle of the day, and she came alone. The obvious reason was that she was a social outcast in a nation of outcasts. The Samaritan woman had no one to confide in, no one to open her heart to, no one to relax with, no one to share with, no one to laugh with, no one to cry with. She was all alone. And Jesus reveals in verse 18, "You've had five husbands. Anyone who's been in and out of that many marriages has to be unfulfilled emotionally." She had tried again and again to have meaningful relationship, but each effort had left her even more miserable in her failure, until her loneliness was surely greater than she could bear. Surely she had a deep loneliness in her soul. Furthermore, I would guess from reading the scriptures that she was probably middle-aged. She was losing her youth, losing her beauty, losing her energy. I expect she felt like life had passed her by. She was desperately tired of living, having long ago given up any sense of real purpose or meaning. So let me ask you this morning, are you lonely on the inside? Even though you may be surrounded by family, friends, co-workers, neighbors, or even church members, are you lonely on the inside? Are you lonely on the inside because you have no one to confide in, to open your heart to relax with, to share with, to laugh with, or to cry with? No one who really understands you, who really knows you. Like the woman at the well, are you thirsty emotionally, spiritually? The gauge of your life points to E, empty. Jesus knew the Samaritan woman had searched for satisfaction and had come up short. He knew her heart was empty, without love or self-worth, without meaning or fulfillment or happiness. And he so gently but pointedly tells her in verse 13, "Anyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again." What was this water? The woman at the well took it to mean that it was the water from Jacob's well. But Jesus was speaking much deeper. All those who try to draw their satisfaction from the wells of this world will always come up thirsty once again. Such wells of this world are the wells of pleasure or popularity or position or possessions or power or prestige or finances or family or friends or fame or fortune, career or children or church or clubs, sports or success, recognition, reputation, religion, education, entertainment, exercise, honors, health, hobbies. Those are the wells of this world. And as long as you seek satisfaction from them, you'll always come up thirsty once again. My friends, if you're looking for deep, lasting satisfaction from the wells of this world, you're just wasting your time. While the wells of this world can temporarily be pleasing, they eventually leave you all the more empty, wondering, is this all there is? And the answer to that is no, that this isn't all there is. For Jesus tells us in verse 14, whoever drinks of the water I give will never thirst. The water I give takes away thirst altogether. Indeed, the water I give will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The emptiness of this life can only be filled with the living presence of Jesus Christ, in whom is found abundant life and eternal life. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard the Savior speaking, draw from the well that never will run dry. All my life long I had panted for a drop from some cool spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Oh, hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. Through his blood, I now am saved. And so here was a woman who is dissatisfied spiritually and dissatisfied emotionally. But finally, I would also have you note that the woman at the well was dissatisfied in her sinfulness. There was just one thing that still stood in the way of her receiving God's wonderful gift, and that was her sinfulness. Jesus convicted this woman so gently of her sin in order that she may confess it and be forgiven and open her heart to be filled with him. With infinite tenderness, yet piercing truthfulness, Jesus confronted her sin by instructing her, go, call your husband, and come back. When he spoke those words, his words must have felt like cold water thrown in her face. She must have stiffened, turned as white as a sheet. Remember that she was nothing but a hopeless outcast, a sinner. The woman did not deny, nor excuse, nor try to rationalize or hide her sin or failure. She simply replied, saying, I have no husband. And Jesus did not condemn her. She was condemned already in her heart. But Jesus did open her eyes to see herself as God saw her, as a woman who had had five husbands and was presently living with a man outside of marriage. She was a woman living in moral failure and in sin. Jesus knew the woman didn't have a husband when he told her to go call her husband and come back. Jesus was just convicting her of her sin so that she would confess her sin and be cleansed and be able to be filled with the living water he was there to offer her. Before we can be filled with the living water, we too must be convicted and cleansed of our sin. Today, Jesus gazes with the same penetrating eyes into your life. And as he does so, what does he see? What sin is there in your life? Does God see you as a man or a woman living in sin and in failure? Is there some sin of which God is convicting you of even this very moment? What is it? Is it the sin of jealousy, the sin of pride, or an unforgiving spirit, or resentful anger, selfishness, lying, unkindness, a judgmental attitude, unbelief, immorality? We cry out, God, give me the living water. Fill me now. God says, go. Go call your husband and come back. Go confess your sin and come to the foot of the cross to be forgiven and to be cleansed. Unconfessed sin in our lives is one of the greatest single barriers to true happiness. So God promises us reassuringly that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My friends, 1 John 1:9 is still true. The Samaritan woman was not offended by this man, Jesus. She was thirstier now than she'd ever been before. She was more aware than ever of her unhappiness, her emptiness, her dissatisfaction. Jesus was now to her more than just a Jew or a man or even a prophet sitting at Jacob's well. When Jesus said to her in verse 26, I that speak unto you am he, she knew he was the Messiah, the Christ, the one who had come to seek and to save that which was lost. And in a flash, she knew that all she had ever longed for, ever hoped for, or ever dreamed of was found in this man, Jesus. He had known all along who she was. He knew all along about her sinfulness, about her religious insincerity, about the very fact that her life was running on empty. Yet wonders of wonders, he had purposely sought her out, an outcast among the outcast. He had actually known the worst about her, and still he offered her living water. And suddenly, miraculously, instantly, she was filled with joy, full and overflowing. According to verse 28, she abandoned her water pot beside the well. The discarded water pot represented her old way of life. She left it there at the feet of Jesus because she no longer was dissatisfied. She was now filled with joy, with the living water. The Samaritan woman had truly been transformed. I can only imagine that as the woman went to bed that night, she whispered softly over and over again, with tears of joy slipping down her cheeks onto her pillow, saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, dear God, for giving me such a wonderful gift, for giving me Jesus. And today, you and I can pray, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. And so I ask you, are you trying to run on empty in your life? Wouldn't you like to be filled full of the living water? Have your cup full and overflowing with the living water, Jesus Christ himself. As the worship team comes to sing, we're going to join together in singing that song, Fill My Cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Won't you stand as the music team comes and as we close out with this song, Fill My Cup, Lord.